In this episode, we're going to talk about how to keep your prices competitive. We have three different ways that you guys can look at trying. Recommend doing all three of them just as we do. And make sure you stay tuned and learn more about it. Welcome to the Rental Boys Podcast. Your host here, Xavier Kelly, and my partner.
What's up, guys? Eddie Salceda.
In our podcast, we talk about tips and tricks to help you along in your party rental business. Me and Eddie currently run a party rental business in the DFW area where we do a little bit less than $400,000 a year. We just started about a year and a half ago, and this podcast is really built for those who are trying to get started and grow in the industry.
Three of the best purchases we've made to grow and protect our rental business. Number one, rental, a rental platform that works as your website to manage your business. Number two, we have A2B, gas cards for your employees to manage fleet expenses. We've been swiping ever since 2020. Number three is going to be Next Insurance, business insurance that has saved us tens of thousands of dollars. We have been protected ever since 2019. Check out the show's notes and sign up through the links. It costs you nothing to sign up for rental and A2B. Insurance quotes are free from Next Insurance. Doing this helps the podcast grow. Thank you all for your support and love.
Welcome, everybody. We have a pretty interesting podcast, I say, for you. Because most of, I would say, even us at one point in time, maybe even us now, but we're trying. Are undercharging. This episode is going to show you how to keep your prices competitive. We have three different ways you can try. We're going to let Eddie start off with this right here because he's always trying to raise the prices on everything.
Always. I just see the other guys and I start crying when I see our prices.
He's like, oh my gosh, Marquis.
Marquis, I want those prices. Yeah. That was in the beginning. I was just like, we need to charge more. I think we talked about this a little bit. We'll talk, argue, whatever.
On the podcast?
No. And because remember, like, how I think leaving money on the table is what we would say this is. What this is. I mean, obviously, we can charge more, but at the same time, you got to make sure you have customers that are willing to pay more. I think that's what we've done very well. But one of the bullets and points are talking to your customers. I think you mainly do all the talking because you say, I'm too crazy with the customers. So you're our voice. Yeah. But yeah, I'll let you get on that, but talking to the customers.
So from some items that there aren't really a lot of competitors as far as like that, like when Eddie built farm tables, even though he thought they were bad, but they actually made tens of thousands of dollars off of hundreds of dollars of being made, so perfect me. But a lot of times we talk to the customers about what they would pay and what they wouldn't. And we did kind of like you said, we talked to them, ask them what they would pay for something like this, and they'll tell us, and then we'll go rent it for that, even if it is higher than other stuff that the other people in our industry offer. Like, we, like, our stages are, like, twice as much as other people. Because we talked to a couple of our customers, and they're saying they're willing to pay that much. And so we believe a lot of people leaving money in the room. So some items you can do that for. Some of your basic items, like chairs and tables and stuff, you kind of got to fall in line kind of with everyone else just because those are going to be the basic items. But a lot of these specialty items and stuff like that, you kind of can determine the prices a little bit differently based on just talking to customers and going based off the value, especially if you're doing it for end goal or something like that. So, like, when we do, like, lighting, we have, like, a lighting that we're about to go do. Not us, but one of the managers is going to go out there and look at one of the lighting situation, like the pair of lights and stuff, we have a general rental cost for, but the actual end solution of what they want, we're going to charge something based off of the value that it comes to them. And just from talking to other people and seeing how much it costs and how much they expect it to cost, and then come up with pricing around that on there, and kind of just to keep it together. But generally, if you talk to your customers, they'll tell you exactly if they think something's too high or too less. But also, too, you can't just use it just off talking to them. You have to use off what they actually put their money down on.
Well, I just heard you say, they would say it was too low of a price.
Yeah, some people do, yeah. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Some people be like, "Oh, what's wrong?
What's fishy? That's too low."
Yeah, exactly. Because when I did the farm
table, then at that point you're like, "Whoops, I made a mistake. I actually meant this much."
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, that's for half of them. No, no, but so sometimes we've had stuff and people are like, when people say yes, and when not everyone comes out and just says the price is too low. When I mean, if you say a price and the person say, "Oh, no problem, no brainer, easy," you know, yeah, throw three of them in. Then your price is too low.
So you want some kind of hesitation.
Yeah, a little bit. Something. It should
but
be
you,
like...
But you don't want to hear the dial tone once you tell them the price.
Yeah, it's like, it's $1,000. They'd be like... No, but like, but they'll tell you. I don't mean like... Now, some actual people that you work with a lot would tell you if your stuff is cheaper. Like, people have actually literally told us sometimes, like, hey, your stuff's like the cheapest on the market.
Beautiful.
On there. And then we'll go back and readjust. And some people just have told us just from their actions of... booking it in like way too fast before they even know anything about it. Mm-hmm. We'd be like, oh, we have these. They'd be like, oh, done, I already paid for it. I'm like, why'd you pay for it already? So like, oh,
I don't want you to change the price.
Don't change the price on and people do that. And then that's when we know we need to change our prices and stuff and talking to people on that part. And also, too, like we have like our tables for the kids' tables. Like we recently raised the prices up on that one because those things were rented out for 52 weeks in a row. Even though we have a lot of them. But they still rent it out 52 weeks, and like that's like too crazy. Like you shouldn't be getting 100%. You know, rate.
You mean 120 overbooked. Over
120% rental rate on all your stuff all throughout the year. That means your prices are probably way too low if you're doing that, and you're leaving money on the table, and you just the amount of work you do on that part. So yeah, so talk to customers. The next one is gonna be testing our prices on a regular basis. This is kind of like a team effort. Eddie would throw a price out, and I would throw out a reasonable price based off his regular price.
That's one thing. Either I under or over.
Yeah, they'd be like, "Oh, it's only cost $30 to get there." Like, "Eddie's taking 30 hours of work."
We dang it.
Or be like, we get there, they'd be like, "It's gonna be a long time." They got this, like, "Oh, I actually found out a way to do it in 2 minutes." So, yeah. And they'd be like, "Dang, all he did was touch something and everything worked."
Yeah.
But that right there is just pretty straight in front. We put stuff up on the site. We just throw it up. Even stuff we don't have, we put it on the site, put a price on it, and see what people kind of say about it. And then you start to get, when you put stuff up there in a week or so, you'll start getting people to be like, okay, I want to rent this. I want to book this. And then you know kind of the price for it. And then if you put it on there and like a lot of people start saying, I want to rent this, that means you put your prices way too low. I know some people think, I got to go, man. Really, you're just giving away stuff at that point, most likely.
Yeah.
You say, would you say on that one? Yeah. But for the most part, just testing your prices, putting stuff up there. We do it on a regular basis on almost everything, anything we want.
Yeah, and then sometimes I think what we do is, like, we'll just throw it out there. And we might not even have the product, but we'll just test it out and see if it's something that's viable. And then we'll just like you said, just test it out. Just see what they're biting on. And I always say it's like fishing. Just, like, throw it out there, try different methods and see what works and run with it.
Yeah. You can always bring your prices down, but you can't bring your prices up. No one really likes that. You know, when you say it's $3 and then they say perfect, and you're like, oh, it's $9, actually. Then you can't really do that. But if you say it's $9, you can come down a lot of the ways. And people actually...
I think they like that because they think they're getting a deal.
Yeah.
You're like, it really was $9, but really it's $3, but, you know, you say $9.
Yeah.
Then you're like, all right, I'll give you a discount. If you book right now, it'll be $7.
Yeah, and that's probably why your prices should be a little bit higher. So the people who will pay will just pay. People who won't, you can negotiate with them down, and you still can make more than what you did. Because we just had a recent experience with us buying a sign. We're going to go over a whole video about the whole process of this because Eddie has now bought three, four signs, something like that now. So, like, remember this guy right here. What did he say? He started at like $7,000. The sign's going to be
$8,000,
yeah.
But there goes that method. You put 7999 and you only see the 7. But yeah. It was like $8,000. And then, like, I'm like, heck no. Because I already had a number in my mind. I was like, nope, not even close. Like, all right, see you later. He's like, all right, guys. I'll take off all this stuff. Basically dwindled it down to... like free
apartment.
Yeah, basically a whole bunch of stuff that he had. I was like, wait a minute. I just agreed apartment. No, he had like free, like no taxes, like free install and all this other stuff he had. So I'll just give you all free on this, okay? So that's like $1,000 savings. And that's going to bring it to, you know, $6,999. So I'm like, no. I was like, nope, still too high. It's crazy. And so anyways, I was like, nope. So we started getting out, and he's like, okay, we're just going to do this, okay? He's like, I got best price guaranteed. And then next thing you know, it went from, like I said, $8,000 and basically down to, like, $3,000 and some change. And I'm like, well, why don't you just start here? Like, cause this is, like, my price point anyways, so this is perfect. And he looked like he, you know, he's quality, and I was like, eh, that's fine. I don't mind paying, you know, this much money. So he's like, if you find a better price, then I'll beat it. I was like, all right, sounds good.
Yeah. And then we went outside, and we're just doing a test. We went outside. We didn't go outside to actually talk about it. We never talked about it outside.
I thought we did.
We went outside. We got on the phone calls. All yeah, stuff. Right. We went outside. We didn't talk about it. And then, what is it, like, 15 minutes later?
The guy comes out there. Comes
like, oh, I'm looking for my 1 o'clock. I was like,
get out of here. You don't have a 1 o'clock appointment.
I mean, it's 12:15.
Like, nice try.
It's 12:15. He's always like, just making sure we left in that part. And then he came back in there and threw some other stuff down. It just outworks and stuff. Also, obviously, he knows exactly how much it's going to cost him to do it.
Yeah.
And then anything above that is his profit on there. That's one thing I do say, like, when you do your pricing, you're negotiating with, especially with recurring clients, is don't be too, you know, I'll say attached to the top number. Like, if you know that this is going to cost you $1,000 and you're charging $10,000, like, if you can get the deal at 85, get the deal at 85. Especially if you don't know if you're going to get the stuff booked out for it too as well. One thing we were saying is being greedy has kind of hurt in some points. Like, we had a deal where we could have got 7,000 in chairs rented out and actually got 7,000 chairs that we could own now. If for a difference of $5,000 or $6,000was the difference in the cost. They approved our deal at 68,000 and I wanted 75 to do a perfect deal. And really, I should have just said forget it and just took what we had and just went with it because they've already approved it. That was like just being greedy on there that I did. So I won't do that again. The last thing that we're going to talk about is doing competitive analysis. We do this about every quarter. We have about like 12 to 14 different companies that we check prices on just to see where we are across a lot of different items and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We have someone call in and they do this about every quarter. And then every time we find a new company, we add it on there. Sometimes some companies go away, so they're not here no more. So
yeah, we only do the main ones.
Yeah. And then, our main competitors and on the top-level guys, too, as well, just to see what they're doing.
Do you ever think that they know that it's you?
I don't really care. We were literally saying Kelly Rentals. But we used to kind of do the whole thing at first.
Oh, remember the Taylor Rent? Oh, wait, not Taylor. Is what's the other one?
It's not Taylor.
No. What was that one guy?
The Texas Giant.
No, there was one guy who's like, hey, you guys need to come up on your price.
Oh, that was TLC.
TLC, there you go. Yeah, there was a company named TLC. And our driver was like, hey, actually our manager was like, hey, TLC is complaining, saying that they're losing a lot of the customers to us. They say we need to come up on our prices.
Yeah.
And because I guess they don't want to match it to our price because obviously their cost to, you know, send somebody out there is way higher.
Yeah. But they have, a warehouse, and you said they have four people just
sitting around. They have four guys just sitting around. Yeah.
Doing stuff. And we don't run that way. We're almost trying to get everybody to buy into the success of the company. Like, the drivers have already bought in. As I know we talked about this in another episode before, but drivers already bought in. And we're like, when we win, they win. We're working on a plan right now for the warehouse team to align our goals together with them. So when we win, they win too as well. So the more they do, the more that they get. Because the whole hourly pay it really messes people's mind up because it makes you believe that things that we care about how long you take on something. In reality, we don't care how long you take on something. We actually care if you take less time on it and you get it done the same way. All we care about is how well it's done, not so much the time it takes on there. So paying by the hour emphasizes and incentivizes people to work longer hours. Mm-hmm. When you pay people on a scale or on a percentage basis based off what you make, or I guess you would call it commission still, right?
Yeah.
What do they call it in, you know what I'm talking about, in the
flag time?
Yeah, flag time.
So basically they already have it scaled out, like each job, how much it's going to pay. So it'll just say changing the oil, they pay the person like 2/10 of an hour. So you gotta do a lot of oil change to get paid 1 hour. And that's the kind of the pace that they want you to set so that so basically you have to hurry up. So if you're slow, you're not gonna hardly make anything. You're complaining, you're like, oh, this sucks. But if you're fast at what you do, then you're gonna be like, well, yeah, I'm making pretty good money doing this stuff. So it's kind of the same kind of methods that we kind of put in place. That way we have like a certain price that we pay our guys, and that way we can make more money.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of what we do, or some type of
in a certain form. I think we can get more. We can always improve in our current system, but yeah, right now, you know, we're moving towards the right direction. Yeah.
I guess ours is more of a simple format of that.
Yeah,
you would say, just because a straight percentage base on there. But yeah, so like, but if we can move, well, I think we have a couple more positions or our warehouse team, which I think would be the most difficult portion to move over to some type of system like that, based on the amount of work they do, so what they get. But once we do get a system for that, we'll write it down and we'll share it with you guys. We're gonna go over the drivers portion eventually, one of these days, maybe in a week or two, on there too as well. But I would recommend doing all of these. Talking to your customers will kind of get you more on the, I would say, on the peer services and on like the unique specialty items will kind of get you prices on there. Testing your prices on a regular basis, it's just going to help you work with stuff that you don't actually own yet, so you can see if you should buy them or purchase them. Also, too, you should be tracking exactly what people request certain items for you and ask for them. We have a spreadsheet that has a list of everything people have been requesting for us, and kind of so we can see kind of where the opportunity is. Like, we had a thing with stages and stuff for a while. Like, we probably lost a couple of our, I would say we lost a couple of deals on some clients and stuff like that, I think, because we didn't have the staging system there. We didn't have the pricing set up where we could even really do it, because we'd be losing on it. Mm. So what we did first was we changed the pricing on it so it can include the rental. We had to rent it, and then we ended up buying it. Actually, the way we bought it was actually, like, we didn't actually put it in to buy it.
I was actually hoping you'd tell that story.
Yeah.
They were like, can I get a quote? And the next thing you know, like, when are you going to pick it up?
When are you going to pick it up? Like, huh? We're charging your account. And if you don't pay in 30 days, it's going to be, it's going to hit your credit. I'm like, what?
Like, oh, yeah, this was a quote.
Yeah, it was a quote. Yeah, because they told us we couldn't actually get it underneath the account we have. And the next thing you know, I call back and they say, like, oh, yeah, your credit's been up. And it's going to be, it'll be here today. You need to go pick it up. And then that was good. I mean, I would say one of the good thing is once you have something that's hard to get in town, you might as well take the option to get it, because I don't know if we would have got a stage any other way if it didn't come, to be honest.
Yeah,
because it was still like $4,000, and like it just and now we have it. We, you know, it's not even a big stage. We're probably gonna buy another one from on there, and it just having it in your hand is totally different than seeing it somewhere else and not knowing when it's gonna get here.
Yeah, so I guess get another quote and we'll have another section of the stage.
Yeah. I guess that's the plan going forward now. But that was good. We used them from Granger. If you want to try to build your business credit, you can use Granger too as well, and some other stuff. But we'll talk. We got a lot of episodes we got to get to. It seems like
sweet information.
We got a lot of information we got to get to. But always keep raising your prices. Keep playing around with it. We do change our prices a little bit. Like, our prices are going to be higher right now during the busy season versus the winter and stuff like that. We're not so much going to discount the prices on the website, but we are going to talk to people and get them to pay something different. Right here, my dog is literally making Eddie's black pants turn white. But other than that, guys, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. As you see, we've been coming out with a lot more actual episodes for this right here. We've been hitting 3 times a week, and we really appreciate you guys with all the feedback and everything we're getting back from this. Please rate and review these podcasts. And also, if you have any questions or anything along that lines that you want to know more about, please reach out to us so we can talk more about it in these episodes. And if you need any consulting or coaching, anything like that, reach out to us. We'll take care of you on the air too as well. But other than that, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast, and we'll see you in the next one.
See ya.
Thank you guys for listening to the Rental Boys podcast. If you haven't already, please drop a review for us. You know, we would love to hear from you. And I think somewhere on here you can leave messages, you know, hit that up too as well, and subscribe and come back for more. We'll see you guys in the next episode.